get it good and sharp and threw it down on the earth. He looked at me and he said, did you temper that sweet? I said, did you what? He said, did you temper that sweet? Well, I'd seen him do it 1,000 times. There was a tub filled with water stayed there all the time. And I'd seen him put things in that tub. I thought just to cool it off. I didn't know there's anything else to it. And so he said, lay it back in the fire and get it a little hot. And I did. He took the tongs, dipped it into the tub, held it there a half minute on the tub, waited for a little, dipped it back in the tub for a half minute or more, and then on the tub, and then turned it loose in the water. And it simmered and simmered. And finally he took the tongs and picked it up because it was still somewhat hot and threw it out on the ground and turned and looked into my face and said these words, son, had you put that sweep on the plowstock, gone into the field, hit the stump, the root of the stone, like you threw it there, it would have bent double because it was too soft. Said, had I plunged it into the water when it was hot and not taken it out at intervals, put it on the stock, hit the stump, root of stone, it would have broken because it had been too hard. But now you can put it on the plowstock, hit the stump, the root of the stone. It'll either snag and hold or it'll cut around. It will not bend. It will not break. For it is properly tempered. And what temper is to the steel, the character of God is in man. He doesn't bend. He doesn't break. He stands. Amen. And amen. God bless America with men and women who'll stand. Are we praying?
Amen.
Are we praying? Christmas, I'm talking about Christ. Not show, not sham, but the life of God incarnate in man. By our faith in him, through his grace in us. I say it's not show, it's God. It doesn't take a show. Jesus was born humbly in a manger. And Jesus astrode an ass's coat in his triumphant entry as the King of the Kingdom of God. Not show, but experience qualities of God alive in your heart and life, in my heart and life. Did you say amen? Am I getting across to you? I may never have a chance like this again. Who knows? Heartfelt religion is one of joy. I want to hope. My time is up, but I'm going to indulge because we were 10 minutes late getting started. And I was 8 minutes late getting started. You don't cheat me out. You may not come next time, but I invite you to come anyhow.
That's right.
So, heartfelt religion is one of joy. God wants his creatures to be happy, made in his image. And if we are unhappy, it's never God's fault. God has made us capable of being happy. And God wants us to be happy. Listen, I'm not going to discuss it for. But if we're in harmony with God, ready to do his will, and refuse to do otherwise as far as we know, then we'll be happy. The happiest people with God may be among the poorest, but they are the richest when they are in harmony with God. With or without knowledge. With or without learning. Amen. And amen. Intellect cultivated doesn't make happiness necessarily unless it's connected with God and his will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For I'm telling you God's truth. And so if we want to be happy, we've got to get in harmony with God. Walk with Him. And live with Him. And love with Him. And bleed with Him. And hurt with Him. And strive with Him. If we want to be happy. And then it's a source of hope. And everybody wants that. Hope. Is heaven a reality? Yes. Just as real as earth. Are heavenly citizens a reality? Paul said, it's superior to citizenship on earth. Heavenly citizenship. And I pause to say, not necessarily members of the church, but Christians are the salt of this earth. The whole world will rot. Die in sin unless Christians witness in the name of the Lord to the whole world. Amen. He's the only Savior. And so heaven is just as real as earth. I know it because God's book says it. I know it because Jesus said it. And Jesus said the truth. I know it because of the experience of those who come into the family of God. And now this is my closing illustration. It was a cold winter day. I told the story possibly once, yes, but it's so apropos, I think it is sensitive as it is. It was a cold winter day. It rained during the night. The early rain slowed down toward the morning, and it went to freezing. When I got up, it was icy. The whole earth was covered with ice. The trees were hanging with ice. And I'd had to call the afternoon before, come to Union Band Church and conduct a funeral, which was 10 miles from Buffalo, where I was a student pastor. And I had promised to be there at 3 o'clock. I believe it's 2:30 the next afternoon for that funeral. And so there I put on my boots and went down 2 blocks to the post office and got my mail that morning. And so I said to one of the taxi men, will you drive me over to Union Band for a funeral this afternoon? He said, you over Union Band across the river? I said, yes. He said, well, preacher, I couldn't get there. If I got there, I couldn't get back up that mountain. And said, I just couldn't do it. And I don't know of any way for you to get there unless you walk or ride horseback. And I said, well, I don't know. Where can I get a horse? He said, yonder's Mr. Sam Key has a good horse. He said, you might make it in a buggy. He called Mr. Sam. He came there and said, this man got a funeral over across the river at Union Band this afternoon at 2:30. I said he couldn't get there except he walked or ride horseback or possibly a buggy. Mr. Key said, I think he could make it in a buggy, maybe. And he said, he's perfectly welcome to my horse and buggy. And what time would you want it? I said, well, you know the distance. He said, well, you better leave at least by 11, if not a little before. And I'll be there a little early. And so before 11 o'clock, he drove there with a buggy and that horse. And so he had the curtains up and laprobe in there. You country folk, bless your heart, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. You had a laprobe there and a storm apron and then a lantern fixed there to where the carbon dioxide would not bother me. And so the lines through that storm apron and glass to look through. And so I got in that buggy about 10:45. We went slowly, but we got there in time. But when we got to the top of the mountain, nearly a mile down to the river, I thought, will we ever get down that mountainside? And I marveled at that horse. Oh, she knew how to do it. She'd slip sometime, look to me like at least 3 feet, but she knew how to catch. And down we went, and over that long river bridge, and on up to the country church. There wasn't an automobile about that church that day. and so went in and conducted the funeral. Son of an elderly lady there, he had lived with her all his life. He passed away. And after the funeral, got in the conveyances, drove about a mile to a family cemetery, and conducted the commitment at the grave. It was placed there. There was a great rock that reached out about, oh, 4 or 5 feet from that grave. That mother came and sat down on the end of that rock. And after the body was placed, then she went to sing, "My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers, the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home to die no more. To die no more. To die no more. I'm going home to die no more." And she said, "Amen." And the casket was lowered. We went to our conveyances, and I went over the icy road back to Buffalo, Kentucky. The winter had passed. The spring had come. The flowers were blooming. The trees were bursted out with leaves. The birds were singing. There came the call. So-and-so's passed away, the mother of that boy. They want you to come and conduct a funeral. And when and told. And I went, and we conducted the funeral back to that cemetery that beautiful spring morning. And the casket was placed, and her two granddaughters, students at Georgetown Baptist College, were home for the funeral, and they sang in memory of that grandmother, "My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home to die no more. To die no more, to die no more. I'm going home to die no more." And I said, "Amen." I heard her say, "Goodbye, son. You're going home. I'm coming." And now she's saying, "Good morning, heaven. I'm here. It's real. If you have what I'm preaching, heart, self, religion." Oh, God, don't let people go away from here today without a Savior. This isn't Christmas. There is no Christmas. You hear me? I'm telling you God's truth. Don't go away, boys and girls, men and women, without a Savior. Let him in. Let him into your heart and save people. Don't go away without an increased joy and an increased hope and an increased dedication to the will of the Lord, to witness for him so that the world can take knowledge of you, that you've been with Jesus, that he's alive in you, and they'll want him. Amen. And therefore our invitation is 425. While you come, those professing Christ as Savior, those who are Baptist transferring your membership, those who've lost your letters, come along by statement. Those from churches that have ceased to be, come by statement. From another denomination and you want membership here, come and make it known. While we stand and sing 425.
there are those who are here and without Savior who are lost. God loves you. Christ died for them. There's no reason to be remembered lost. You can ask him to forgive you. You put your faith in there are pastors here, scattered on, here and gone. But it's not a perfect church, but it's a perfect church. And have a wonderful day. I would certainly advise anybody to bring it to you for the best of time and the Lord. Because the days of Christ are the truth, without a doubt, God is sensible, why not so long? Cast it off the divine. We're praying for you. We thank you.
The heart's in it.